Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. It's a triple header here on the Mary Griffith Show, and we're going to start out with the Art Center. And they've got lots of exciting things coming up, including a new showcase that's getting ready to open, but I'm going to let them talk about whatever they want to talk about. I'm not going to put words in their mouth. So first and foremost, we have to see who's here. The Grand Poobah is here. Would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Good morning, Mary. I'm Sandra Height. I'm the Executive Director at the Art Center, and I'm very happy to be back in Quincy and running this amazing organization.
Kind of new to the job still, aren't you?
I am. I haven't yet made it a year. I won't get there until the end of February, so I'm still in that first year cycle.
Okay. But a lot of exciting things are happening.
Wonderful
Old
things are happening.
Old things and new things.
That's right.
And you are, my dear?
I'm Libby Campbell. I'm the Director of Marketing at the Quincy Art Center.
You've got the easiest job in the world. Is there ever anything bad going on at the Art Center? Never.
No. All good things.
All good things. That is so true. Well, let's start, I guess, with the Mary S. Oakley Lee Lindsay Artist Showcase. I mean, I know you want to get to Miracle on Main, but let's get to that showcase first, because people wait for this all year long.
They really do, Mary, and thank you for bringing up that we do have many good things happening. Each year, really, the exhibit that attracts the most people to the Art Center is the Mary S. Oakley and Lee Lindsay Showcase, and that's really because it's all about local artists and allowing them an opportunity to exhibit their artwork, and it's also a juried competition, which not all of our exhibits are, and I think people get very excited about entering their artwork and seeing if they won a prize, and then at this exhibit, the opening, they get to bring their friends and their family, and all kinds of art lovers from the community will come to view the art.
It is this Friday night, is it not? November 22nd?
Yes, it is.
7 to 9. And there's no charge to come to the opening reception.
As always, it is free.
Okay. Will there be refreshments?
There will be refreshments. There will be free refreshments for everyone who enters. Everything from wine and water to nibbles.
And if they run out of wine, there may be a priest there to turn the water into wine. So who knows?
Who knows?
And nibbles. I love it. This is the 30th year for the Mary S. Oakley and Lee Lindsay. And these ladies, you know, they decided they wanted to put some gravitas behind it. It takes money to put these things on. It's a great showcase, like you said, for local artists. You have to be accepted into the show. But the threshold to be accepted is a lot lower than the threshold to be judged the winner. Now, again, art is subjective. So if you're not chosen this year as the winner, submit next year. A new judge may say, well, that's just what I think is the cup of tea. Is that one of the hardest things about being in the art world? There's no right answer, is there, Libby?
That's one of the things I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really in the eye of the beholder what you value as artistic expression. The juror was from University of Missouri in Columbia this year, and she picked some fantastic selections. There were some surprises, so I just can't wait for the community to see this exhibit.
So we will know on that night. The free reception is from 7 to 9 this Friday night. We'll find out then who wins, and then the exhibit stays up through January 4th. So plenty of time while your family's in town. And maybe it's a really cold and blustery day and you want to do something indoors, the Arts Center at 1515 Jersey is always a great stop. Or just if there's an art lover or a young person in your life that really wants to be inspired, they can come and see what others are doing in the art world. Is there a cost to get into the Art Center on a normal day when we come to the gallery?
No, there's not. We do not charge. We accept donations. And another way people can support us is through membership. So memberships at the Art Center start at $50 for an individual and then go up through the supporter level. And we have members exclusive events as well. So on Friday night, members of the Art Center can come at 6 instead of 7 to have a special preview of the exhibit before it's open to the public.
Get the best nibbles and get the best wine.
That's right.
And before the unwashed masses like myself come in, you can enjoy the art without bumping and crowding. It's great. It's just one of the many things that is going on. And again, it's open Friday night, November 22nd from 7 to 9, and then open every day. The Art Center's open all the way through January 4th. So a lot of time over the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays when you've got a little downtime or you need a little quiet time or you've got family visiting, it'd be a great thing for them to do. The Art Center is also involved in a troika of activities that are taking place on December 7th, I believe. And this is something brand new for the Art Center, for the Quincy Museum, and for the Lorenzo Bullhouse. Tell us all about it, please.
Yeah, we're pretty excited to be partnering with our neighbors on the corner of 16th and Main. And this year, we are hoping that the entire community will come visit our three spaces to get into the holiday spirit. At the Art Center, we'll be making ornaments. At Lorenzo Bullhouse, there will be cocoa and cookies and Kris Kringle. And at the Quincy Museum, there's going to be music of the season playing for the entire evening, which is from 4 o'clock until 8 p.m.
Okay, December 7th, 4 to 8 p.m. And you're calling that the Miracle on Main?
Yes, we are.
The Miracle on Main. $10 gets you in.
That's right.
And that includes, does that include a chance? Or is that extra?
The raffle's extra for people who have are looking for a really unique wreath for the door. We've got three completely different styles. Each of us, each organization, asked some local artists and friends to create one. And so all three of them are on display right now at the Art Center, where raffle tickets are $1 for $5 or $5 for $20.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Carriage rides are also part of this, but you better book those now.
Those have actually sold out.
Okay, I figured they would. So this is a great event. There will be crossing guards available to help you get across the street. It is going to be fantastic. It's a brand new event. It's $10, and it really is a family-friendly event. The kids will enjoy the music. They'll enjoy the cocoa. They'll enjoy the ornament making, but it's for the whole family to do all of these activities together.
That's right, and children actually are $5. And two and under are free.
Okay. So the little biddliest ones can come for free. Mm-hmm. The little ones, $5. And then, of course, grown-ups for $10. Is there anything else you'd like to promote while you're here today on the Mary Griffith Show?
Yes.
Oh, Libby says yes.
Oh, yeah. The night before Miracle on Main Street, December 6th, we are opening a special Fritzi Morrison exhibit called Fritzi Works in Watercolor. It was guest curated by one of our longtime friends, Hal Oakley. And the Fritzi paintings will be for sale.
Oh, my.
So, yes, this is an exciting opportunity to own a piece of local art from a significant artist who was influential for a long time in our art community, and we're really excited to share her work.
Okay, so that's December 6th.
That's right, but it is a members exclusive event.
Of course, so that's another reason to buy a membership or to give a membership for Christmas.
That's right.
To someone, and her stuff will be on display that evening, then it won't be on display anymore, it's just that night? Okay, because of course you've got the other gallery rooms all full with Mary Oakley and Lee Lindsay. Okay. Fritzi Morrison
Works in Watercolor
sale, December 6th. If you've always wanted to have a Fritzi Morrison piece, get yourself a membership to the Art Center and get yourself there on December 6th at 1515 Jersey. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you, Mary,
for stopping by. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about your health and immunizations for yourself and your children. All the facts you need to know coming up. It's 927 on WTAD. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're going to talk today about immunizations. If Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is listening, we can fill your mind with some information that might be helpful to you. We have Tara Beeler here, and we know at least one person is avidly and actively listening to Tara and judging her performance this morning. Hi, Paul. Tara Beeler, welcome to the Mary Griffith Show. Tell us what you do at the health department. Get right up there on top of that microphone.
Thank you, Mary. Hello, Paul. I am an infectious disease nurse, and so we try to prevent the spread of illness in the community.
Okay, that's good. And Beth Davis, what do you do?
Hi, I am the immunization supervisor at the health department, so go over all the new facts about the vaccines and all the updates.
Okay, let's just dive into the real problem, and I certainly understand. I have people I know who absolutely will never have their children immunized. They are not going to be immunized. They've held this position for 40, 50 years. This is a long-standing position of theirs. More and more people are coming to this position. You know, back in my day, everybody got chicken pox. Kids don't get chicken pox anymore because we have a vaccine for chicken pox. Friends of mine have had polio. Kids don't get polio today because we have a vaccine for polio. I remember when I was of childbearing years, my doctor advised that I get a rubella or whatever, German measles vaccine, because if you would become pregnant, it would be very damaging to your child if you got German measles. I got all the immunizations that everybody recommended me get. I get my tetanus shot. They keep track of it at my doctor's office, and every 10 years, ugh, it's time for my tetanus booster, you know, whatever. But there is a growing segment of people who do not want vaccines put into their bodies or their children's bodies. And so, Beth Davis, can you comment on that? Because obviously people have the right to do whatever they want, and they can get a what do you call it? They can opt out of it if they have a religious or other, you know, reason for doing it. But are you seeing that in Adams County, or is that something happening nationwide but it's not happening here?
We do always see, you know, the religious and medical exempts in the schools. But what I say is, you know, I welcome those people to come into the health department. Our nurses are more than willing to sit down with them and to go over the science, go over the facts, and let them make that educated informed decision. So that's something that we welcome. We want to have those conversations. Any questions, call us, you know, come on in. And if we don't know the answer to your very specific question, you know, we will look it up. We will do that research for you so you have that information.
Part of the reason people don't like vaccines, and I have a problem with this too, when I get my flu vaccine, it's always got a mercury-based, you know, body that they're distributing it in. Quit doing that. Why can't the vaccine industry get rid of some of these carriers? It's not, I'm not afraid of my flu vaccine. I just don't like the goo that you put it in. Why is it so hard to get just a vaccine? Why is the carrier mode such a controversial thing?
So mercury actually hasn't been in any of the vaccines
for a long time.
Well, it was called thimerosal, but that was eliminated a long time ago. And a lot of times that was in there as a preservative because they didn't make individual vials for the vaccines. They made like a 100 dose vial, and they had to keep it. You know, you were going to have that open for 30 days. They had to keep it preserved.
But now my doctor tells me that has that in there. You're saying that's not true? Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's
not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I get it anyway, but I kind of get irritated.
But I know, I understand where you're coming from, and I do think that as people become more aware of what goes in their body, I do think that the vaccine manufacturers are becoming more aware. But as we come out with new things like mRNA, which doesn't have any sort of like thimerosal, and that think people are nervous about that too because it's new. So it's kind of a, you know, if you don't want the old stuff in it, you also need to be open-minded and be willing to accept the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the bottom line. Everybody has to make their own decision, but as someone who had COVID twice, first time, whoopity-ding, I'm like, hey, 10 days off work, doing nothing, and I feel great. I'll take it with pay. Thank you. Second time, not quite so happy. First time, I did have the experimental drug. I went and sat in this room that was reverse pressure with three other people, and we had this long IV, and you know, I was like, wow, am I like killing myself or am I saving myself? You know, well, obviously I did save myself, but the second time I had COVID, it was a little bit worse, you know? So again, it just goes to show I get the flu vaccine because I'm old, man, and I don't want to be very, very ill. And let's face it, influenza kills people.
It does.
It can kill a lot of people,
but
it kills people. And so is it, how hard is it to get the old crowd like me? I think we're pretty used to taking vaccines. We kind of think they're safe and effective. So who else should be getting the flu vaccine besides the old fuddy-duddy crowd like me?
So flu vaccines, they're actually approved for 6 months and up. While you're talking about, you know, 65 and older, there is a high-dose flu that we highly recommend for those individuals. It's going to have four times the amount of antigens to give them better protection, more antibodies to keep them, you know, from getting the influenza that's going to be severe and put them in a hospital. But yes, flu vaccines are 6 months and up.
Okay. So children should be getting them. Young adults should be getting them. Older people, especially on the advice of your doctor, should be getting a flu vaccine because there's a new strain every year. We can't guarantee that you're not going to get another strain of it. That's part of the problem. And also, I get the, it's not chicken pox. What's it called when old folks have it?
Shingles.
Shingles.
Yes.
The old folks that can't remember the name of diseases. I had chicken pox when I was a kid because there was no vaccine. So I take the shingle shot, too. Because I've known people that have had shingles, and that is no fun either.
Yes.
I guess what we really have to say is I have to weigh the effects of not getting a vaccine and getting the disease versus getting the vaccine. It's dead virus. Now, that doesn't mean that if you get your flu shot, the next day you won't feel a little draggy.
Yes.
You know, because your body is thinking it has the flu, so it's reacting like you have the flu, but you don't have the flu. You're not giving them a live vaccine. So flu shots, shingle shots, what about things like whooping cough? Do adults need to be immunized against that, or is that just for kids?
So there is it's called Tdap, so it's going to protect you against the tetanus. So every time you get a tetanus shot, you know, it's mostly that Tdap, so it's got tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. Pertussis is that whooping cough.
So every 10 years I'm getting that.
Yes.
I call
yes.
it my tetanus shot, but it's really Tdap, so I'm getting my booster every 10 years to keep me from getting whooping cough.
Correct, yes.
Or to be contagious to others
yes.
who have whooping cough. This is why it's coming forward in children now. People aren't getting their kids immunized because they're afraid.
Yes. We actually have had quite a bit of whooping cough here in Adams County this year. We usually have like one or two cases a year, and we've had 22 this year.
So, okay. 22 kids or adults? 22 kids?
21 kids.
21 kids and one adult have whooping cough.
Mm-hmm.
And were those 21 children unvaccinated?
Not all of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not a surefire that it's going to work.
But the more that people are, you know, that herd immunity.
The herd immunity.
The more that people are vaccinated, the less it will circulate. As rates of vaccination go down, even those who normally would be protected might get it because vaccines don't work 100% in every single person. And the coverage wanes, especially with pertussis, which is why you get why you get it every 10 years. So on some kids that had started to wane, and that is likely why they got it. Now they also, I will tell you, my son had it and he is vaccinated and he was miserable. That cough is awful. Like
you had to be frightened.
Yes, I was. I was.
You can die from it.
Yes, absolutely. It's mostly babies that die and older people. But, I mean, he was, like, throwing up afterwards. Like, he was just coughing so much his face would get red. He sounded terrible. And he's a healthy 15-year-old kid who was vaccinated. So I would like to think that because he was vaccinated, that prevented it from getting
from
worse.
From dying.
Yes, exactly.
Do you think that... I mean, do you think he got it from the herd he's running with is not fully vaccinated? Or I mean, he had to get it from somewhere.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I wish we knew,
yeah.
You know.
Well, we want to talk today about how you can get yourself, your children, everyone in your family fully covered. So let's talk about what the Adams County Health Department does. Because you can do this at your doctor's office. Some pharmacies offer this. But a lot of people choose to go to the health department. And so, real quick, if you don't mind, I want you, Beth Davis, to talk a little bit about when we should get the flu shot, when we should get the shingle shot, when we should get the COVID shot, and then go down into the to the children and to the, you know, just give us a kind of a timeline. Now's the time.
Yes, now is the time. So we are in the respiratory season. So definitely flu vaccines, COVID vaccines, pneumonia vaccine. Now is the time to get those respiratory.
Oh, I get that too.
Yes, now's the time for those respiratory vaccines. Shingles vaccine, you know, that is, you can get that anytime. That is for 50, anyone that's 50 years old and older. But yeah, the respiratory ones, RSV, there's an RSV vaccine now for individuals that are 75 and up, or 60 to 74 if they have a increased risk of getting that respiratory virus. There's also one for pregnant mamas, and then also ones for babies that are coming into their first winter months. So that is something also very important to think about for their children.
These respiratory diseases can be life-threatening.
Yes.
People die of pneumonia all the time. Mm-hmm. People die of flu all the time. So these vaccines are nothing to poo-poo about. Are you concerned that, you know, I mean, you know, again, everybody has their own right to their own health care. I'm not going to say you got to get jabbed, but you know, at the highest levels of our government now, some people are saying that we don't need to be immunized. Well, if we all go along with that for a couple of years, we're going to have mass outbreaks of polio and
yep.
God
yes.
only knows what
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
Are we prepared to deal with that?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think we're prepared in that we, you know, we went through COVID and we've had little minor outbreaks. Like there was a pertussis outbreak at QND High School this year. And so we know what to do. What concerns me more would be the healthcare aspect, not necessarily the public health aspect, but like if we had a polio outbreak or a large measles outbreak, is healthcare, you know, are the facilities ready to have to deal with that? And I think people just, I mean, thankfully people don't remember those illnesses because they're not around anymore. But if we continue to go the path that we're going, we will start to see more and more. And so I think it is an individual decision. And I absolutely know you want what's best for your kids. You want what's best for yourself. But also, we have to think about the community, too.
Well, here's the difference between COVID and polio. By the time they figured out what caused polio and they had a vaccine for it, everybody was standing in line.
Yes.
Because they'd seen their childhood friends in an iron lung for the rest of their life.
Right.
Or kids that couldn't walk for the rest of their life, and you wanted the sugar cube. I mean, everybody wanted the sugar cube. By the time COVID came around, we weren't quite sure. People distrust the government now, which mm-hmm. nothing you two can do about that,
no.
Nothing I can do about that. And they're like, I don't know, you're going to put a marker in my body. You're going to track me. You know, I'm going to be brainwashed, whatever things they've got going on. And yes, people died. And I got so mad. Somebody actually said to me, oh, nobody ever died of COVID. That's just a hoax. And I said, well, I went to the funeral. I mean, she's not here. It's just insulting.
Mm-hmm.
It's insulting to think that people didn't die of COVID.
Right.
They did die of COVID.
Yeah.
And they could still die of COVID.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you don't want to get COVID, either isolate yourself or get a vaccine, or I don't know what else you're going to do, but do something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, flu, pneumonia, shingles. What's the other thing I got?
RSV.
Yep. God, I'm old. I have to have them all. Just get a 55-gallon drum and put a needle at the end of it, and I'll come in someday and just lay down again. That's the other thing. Don't, you know, get these things over time so that, yeah, now it's flu season,
mm-hmm.
but you can get your Tdap some other time.
Yes.
You know, nobody's
yes.
saying go down and get 48 vaccinations
right.
in one time.
Correct.
That's too much for your body.
Yes.
Because your body thinks it's getting all those diseases
right.
and you don't want it to. Okay. So just call the health department.
We are actually a walk-in. So
okay.
we are there Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. We are open on lunch break. So that's nice for individuals that work that have the same hours as we do. They come on their lunch and we'll get you right in.
And if your kids are, if you don't know if your what your kids' records are, they'll either keep them at the health department or you can ask your pediatrician. Know what you need, know what you've had, and for goodness sake, with the consultation of your doctor and God, I guess, I wonder if Jesus, I wonder if Mary would have given Jesus the Tdap.
I bet she would have.
I bet she would have.
Yes.
Okay, well, speculation on our part. Okay. Well, thank you so much, very much, for coming by. We really appreciate Tara Beeler and Beth Davis for coming by and educating us. I think the vast majority of people understand that immunizations have changed our entire world,
mm-hmm.
and that polio is no longer a scourge. Let's hope it doesn't. We don't want whooping cough to be a scourge. We don't want even chicken pox to be a scourge. I mean, who the heck wants that? So get your kids immunized and take care of yourself as well. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Operation Christmas Child, the shoebox campaign. But first, Bear, Rex Battery, and F&T Livestock bring you this report from the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. Ten minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour, Julie O'Connor is here. We're going to talk about Operation Christmas Child. This is a project of Samaritan's Purse. That's Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. This is one of the things that he does, sending shoeboxes packed with gifts all over the world. And why a shoebox? Well, it's compact. It fits in a shipping container, and it's really easy for people to fill up with all kinds of great things. So Julie O'Connor is here, and it's not too late, folks. We're getting there. We've got a deadline. This stuff has to get overseas, but it's not too late to pack your shoebox or to bring down items to be packed in a shoebox. But first, Julie, I want to know, how did you get involved in Operation Christmas Child? Who came up and said, hey, would you like to pack a shoebox for a kid you've never met before?
Well, good morning, Mary. It's great to be here. Yes, I have been involved with Operation Christmas Child for, I don't know, at least 15 years.
Yeah.
Packing shoebox gifts with my children when they were home and younger. They're all gone and out of the house and married at this point. But we just started packing shoebox gifts because it just felt like a really good thing to do with my kids at the time of the year, especially right now when you are focused on what would you like for Christmas with our, you know, inside of our families and our close friends and things that we're buying gifts for. It's a really great time to think about somebody else. And it felt like a good thing to do with my kids to redirect off of just what they would like for Christmas to think about what would another child like for Christmas who has nothing, a child who is in maybe a place that's war-torn or a place that's had a natural disaster or just general poverty. And that's where these gifts are going. They're going around the world to kids in need.
And so I know one of the favorite items to pack is a deflated soccer ball.
Yes.
deflated anything is popular.
That's pretty much the favorite gift to go
because
anywhere.
Kids can make their own fun with that.
Oh, yes.
Other things like ball and jacks or, you know, toys that we used to play with when we were kids that don't require any batteries, no high tech, anything that you can find really almost at the dollar store or, you know, would be something that a child overseas would enjoy.
Yes.
The idea is that this is a Christian ministry to show them love at Christmas, but also to give them kind of that wow toy.
Mm-hmm.
But you also ask people to put down like a washcloth, maybe pairs of underwear, stuff like that. Things that if I got at Christmas when I was a kid, be like, I don't want underwear from Santa Claus, man. But these kids, they don't have anything.
Well, we've heard so many stories from children. This ministry has been going on for 30 years. So we have a number of adult people now who live in the United States who are working with Operation Christmas Child who received a shoebox gift when they were a child somewhere overseas. And they have grown up since then and have either been adopted into a home or something here in the United States. It is fascinating to hear their stories. Many of them were in orphanages when they received their gifts. They didn't even have a toothbrush. If those kids were brushing their teeth, they were sharing a toothbrush with 20, 30 other kids. So, yes, to receive a toothbrush and that's your very own is an amazing thing, and a washcloth, and your own pencils, and your own maybe box of crayons. I mean, my kids loved a new box of crayons every fall for school, so that's just something that every child loves.
Yeah, and you've got them, the boxes are set up by age, so, you know, mm-hmm. you've got stuff for little bitty kids, you've got stuff for the older crowd. It's kind of like a 2 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, and obviously teenagers want something a little bit different. But the wow items such as a doll, a soccer ball, a stuffed animal, any kind of snuggly or stuffy, mm-hmm. Some of these kids really are in bad situations, and that comfort item would be great. Like you said, items of clothing, mm-hmm. Toothbrushes, but you can't send toothpaste or candy. You've got to be careful what you ship overseas. You can't have anything that kind of melts or becomes, toothpaste is not good. Now, you would think, well, that'd be great. It's in a tube, but no, that can't be part of it.
Right, and part of that is because these containers filled with thousands and thousands of shoebox gifts can get stuck in customs. So we're just trying to facilitate getting them quickly.
No liquid, no lotion,
into
no
these
food,
countries. Right.
Nothing that they have to inspect mm-hmm. because something could be hidden in that. Yeah.
Right.
So no medications, no breakable items, just they'll tell you kind of, you can go to the website and they'll
sure.
tell you exactly what to pack in the shoebox. Now, we can do it two ways. We can pack our own shoebox, or we can come to a center and bring items to be put in a shoebox.
Well, you know what? There's another way too.
Okay.
If you are not a shopper, I love going to pick out all the items that I want to put in a shoebox gift, but some people don't love to go shopping. You can go on the website and build a shoebox online, and that's $25, which works great because they you can pick your items that you want to include in your shoebox gift, and it includes a $10 suggested donation for the shipping, and then you're done. So if you're not a shopper, you can go online and still pack a shoebox online and do it that way.
And what is that address?
The SamaritansPurse.org
okay.
is the website,
and then look for
then
Operation
you can get
Christmas
to Operation
Child.
Christmas Child. It's
okay,
front and center these days.
Now there are collection sites at Madison Park Christian Church and at Columbus Road Church.
Mm-hmm.
There's drop-off sites in Hannibal, Pittsfield, Rushville. Again, Operation Christmas Child at Samaritan's Purse. But we're really getting down to the end of the wire on that.
This is National Collection Week, so there are nearly 5,000 churches in the nation right now that have opened their doors. They're going to be open at least 2 hours a day for the coming week. It ends a week from today, but the trucks roll on the 25th, November 25th, next Monday morning at like 9:30, 10 in the morning. So really, you could tell yourself that they're due by next Sunday. And any of those collection points, you can drop off a shoebox gift. And if you just can't get one physically packed by then, go online and build a shoebox online.
Build your shoebox online. Now, you don't get to decide where it goes. It might
right.
go to Ukraine. It might go to Ghana. It might go to war-torn Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where this is going to go. It could go to a hurricane-flooded out area in the Appalachian Mountains. Mm. It could go to the United States. Primarily, they go overseas.
Right.
And it could go to any country, any impoverished country. It could be war-torn. No military guns, nothing like it that's weapon-like, mm-hmm. but coloring books, crayons, colored pencils, art supplies, anything like that.
Musical instruments are
little
great.
Little kazoos or a little xylophone thing.
Little
harmonica. Mm-hmm. Anything that the children can use as a toy to entertain themselves and to really entertain their whole village.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these kids will get these boxes in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the soccer ball is number one. The deflated soccer ball is what?
With a pump.
With an air pump. Right. And maybe hopefully one kid will get the air pump, That would be fantastic. So we drop these off. We can do it at Madison Park Christian Church, at Columbus Road Church, Hannibal, Pittsfield, Rushville. Just find your location for Operation Christmas Child. $10 per box requested because that's the shipping cost to get mm-hmm. it over there.
And if you've shipped anything anywhere recently, mm-hmm. that is a complete bargain. It's just kind of the tip of the iceberg of the cost, but it does help.
Okay. What's your favorite item to pack?
It's the soccer ball
it's
for me.
Soccer
ball, but also I love sticking in a pair of bright sunglasses, something like that, because it's just fun. I've seen so many pictures of the kids. They open their box and they immediately put something on themselves, whether it's a hat or the sunglasses or a necklace, just something silly that they can immediately put on. And
so,
that's fun.
You know, what is really great is lower your expectations. I mean, these kids will be happy with almost anything, but the simplest things are the things they love the most. It is SamaritansPurse.org. It's Operation Christmas Child. Go to their website and find out how you can give. Thank you so very much, Julie O'Connor,
You're
for
welcome.
Stopping by today. We really appreciate it.